Extraordinary.
What is it, Poirot?
Such a frail, shrunken old man, and yet all this. A chair and table overturned, broken glass, broken china. How did it all happen? And such a lot of blood.
Fournet, that's what Mrs. Alfred said.
What did she say?
Something about who would have thought the old gentleman would have had so much blood in him.
The words of Lady Macbeth. That is interesting.
It has been a particular shock to my husband, to all of us, but particularly to him.
Terrible, quite terrible. Won't you sit down, both of you? Thank you. Let me introduce Monsieur Hercule Poirot.
Madame.
How do you do, Monsieur Poirot?
Good evening.
And Superintendent Sugden here will be taking notes.
Right, sir.
I'm afraid this will be painful for you, Mr. Lee, but I would like an account of what happened.
Of course.
When, for instance, did you last see your father?
At about 6:15. Hmm? I sat with him for a short time. He had expressed his intention of going to bed early.
Now go on, please.
We had our dinner at 8:00. Dinner was over and my wife and the other ladies had gone into the drawing room. We were sitting there at the table. Suddenly, there was the most astounding noise overhead. Chairs overturning, breaking glass and china. And then, my God, I can hear it still. A horrible, long, drawn-out scream. The scream of a man in mortal agony.
Who was with you when you heard that cry?
My brother was there. My brother, Harry.
Where were the other gentlemen?
It seems so long ago. What did happen? Oh, of course, Sir George had gone to telephone. Then we began to talk of family matters, and Stephen Farr said something about seeing we wanted to discuss things and took himself off.
And your brother, David?
David. I don't quite know when he slipped away.
Now, there's another point. I understand your father had valuable diamonds in his possession.
Yes, that is so. They were rough diamonds, uncut stones.
Where did he keep them?
In the safe in his room.
Did you know, Mr. Lee, that these stones had been stolen?
What?
Is that why he was killed? For the sake of the stones?
Well, that's what we're going to find out. Who attended to the room?
Horbury, his valet. The second housemaid goes in to do the grate and lay the fire every morning. Otherwise, he did everything.
So, Horbury would be the person with the best opportunity?
Yes.
And where were you when the crime took place?
In the drawing room.
You heard the noise of the struggle?
I think I heard something heavy fall. Of course, my father-in-law's room is over the dining room, not the drawing room, so I wouldn't hear much.
But you heard the cry?
Yes, I heard that. It was quite horrible. Like a soul in hell.
Thank you, Mrs. Lee. It will be better, perhaps, if we interview the other members of the house party first. The ladies may want to get to bed.
Come, Alfred. Shall I send them in to you, Colonel Johnson?
Oh, yes, thank you. One by one, if you don't mind.
Well, just after dinner, I was, I think, in this room. Yes, I just finished telephoning. I put through a call to my agent in Westringham, at my constituency, some urgent party business.
And it was just after that you heard the scream?
Yes, very unpleasant. It died away in a kind of choke or gurgle. Terrible business. It must have been the work of a lunatic.
Were you aware that your father kept a quantity of valuable, uncut diamonds in his bedroom?
Yes, a most unwise procedure. I often told him so. He might have been murdered for them. That is to say...
Are you aware that the stones have disappeared?
Then he was murdered for them?
He was aware of their loss and reported it to the police some hours before his death.
But then I don't understand.
We too do not understand.
The old man was delighted I'd come home. Pretty boring for him cooped up here with Alfred. My father had been a bit of a rip in his time. He was looking forward to my company.
When did you last see your father this evening?
After tea. He just had a row with Alfred about your humble servant. The old man was no end buck with himself. He likes stirring up trouble. That's why he talked about altering his will.
So your father mentioned his will?
Yes, in front of the whole lot of us, watching us like a cat to see how we reacted.
What changes did he contemplate making?
Well, he didn't tell us that. I imagine, or I should say I hoped, that the change would be to the advantage of your humble servant. Pilar, too. He'd taken a fancy to her. Well, he's dead now. No wills will be altered in Pilar's favour, nor mine either, worse luck.
Where were you at the time of your father's death?
In the dining room with Brother Alfred. Not a very harmonious after-dinner session. We were in the middle of a pretty sharp argument when we heard the noise overhead. And then poor old father screamed. It's like killing a pig.
Killing a pig?
Yes. We started upstairs, but the door was locked. Had to break it down. How the devil it came to be locked, I can't imagine.
When we got up to his room, he was speaking to his lawyers about his will. And then he told Alfred he was looking very glum. Alfred was very upset because of Harry coming home to live. And then Mr. Lee said something about his late wife. She had the brains of a louse, he said. And David sprang up and looked as though he'd like to murder him. Oh, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it at all.
No, quite a figure of speech, that's all.
Yes.
Now, where were you at the time of the crime?
I think I was in the drawing room.
Aren't you sure?
Of course. How stupid of me. I'd gone to telephone.
In here?
Yes, it's the only telephone, except the one upstairs in my father-in-law's room.
Was anyone else in here with you?
Oh, no. I was quite alone.
I see. And then?
And then there was that awful scream. Oh, it was like a nightmare. I shall always remember it.
Well, I think that's all for the present.
Thank you.
Well, we're getting at some of it now. George Lee was telephoning when he heard the scream. His wife was telephoning when she heard it. Now, which of them is lying? What do you think, Sugden?
I don't want to speak offensively of the lady, but I should say that she'd be first class at getting money out of a gentleman, but I don't think she'd cut a gentleman's throat.
But one never knows, Moyer.
What do you think, Poirot?
I would say that the character of the late Signor Lee begins to emerge for us. It is there, I think, that the whole importance of the case lies, in the character of the dead man.
I don't quite understand you, Mr. Poirot.
I am telling you that because Signor Lee was a certain kind of man. He set in motion certain forces which, in the end, brought about his death. So, Mr. David, did your father mention his late wife at all?
Yes, he did. He insulted her.
Your mother has been dead for some years.
She died when I was a boy.
She was not, perhaps, very happy in her life here?
Who could be happy with a man like my father? My mother was a saint.
Your father was perhaps distressed by her death?
I don't know. I left home. Before this visit, I had not seen my father for 20 years.
And where were you at the time of the murder?
I could see that Alfred and Harry were going to quarrel, so I slipped away to the music room and played the piano.
Which is next to the drawing room?
Yes. I played there for some time, and then I heard the noise from upstairs and my father screaming like a soul in hell. God, it was awful.
Were you alone in the music room?
No. My wife Hilda was there.
He wanted to stir up strife. Why else would he have brought us all together? And why did he arrange for us to hear him saying he was going to make a new will?
Are you sure he did that deliberately?
Oh, I'm certain of it.
So that, really, he may not have meant to alter his will at all.
No, I think that part of it was quite genuine. He probably did wish to make a new will, but he enjoyed underlining the fact.
Now, Mrs. Lee, I'd be grateful if you would tell us what you were doing when the crime occurred.
I was with my husband in the music room.
Mm-hmm. And then?
We heard tables and chairs overturned upstairs, and then that awful scream.
Like a soul in hell.
It was worse than that.
What do you mean, madame?
It was like someone who had no soul. It was inhuman, like a beast.
So you have judged him, madame.
Had your mother spoken to you of your grandfather much, Miss Estravardus?
She said he was an old devil.
And what did you think of him?
Of course, he was very, very old. He had to sit in a chair and his face was all dried up. But I liked him all the same. I think that when he was a young man, he must have been handsome. Very handsome, like you.
Oh.
Like Superintendent Sugden. Well, well. Did your grandfather ever tell you that he had diamonds in the safe in his room?
Yes, he showed them to me. But they were not like diamonds, they were just like pebbles.
Mrs. Stravardus, did you know that those diamonds had been stolen?
Stolen?
Mm. Now, I understand that all the family came up to your grandfather's room in the afternoon and that some angry words passed.
Yes, it was great fun. Grandfather made them so angry.
Do you remember what was said?
I am not sure. Grandfather said they were all no good. He said I was better than any of them.
Where were you when the crime occurred?
I went up to my room to do my face. I was going to dance again with Stephen, and far away I heard a scream, and everyone was running, and I went too.
Did you go into the room?
Oh, yes. Grandfather was lying in a great pool of blood.
Did anyone say anything?
David said such a funny thing. He said, "In mills of God." What does that mean?
Oh, it's an English proverb, my dear. Well, I don't think there's anything more, Miss Estebanus.
Nothing more? Then I shall go to bed. Good night.
Good night, Mamma.
Good night, Miss.
Good night. The mills of God grind slowly, but they grind exceeding small. And David Lee said that. Who's left, Superintendent?
Stephen Farr. The only one who's not family.
After the ladies had left the dining room, I stayed and had a glass of port. I realized that the Lees had family business they wanted to discuss, so excused myself and left them.
And what did you do then?
Well, there's a room with a gramophone, sort of a little ballroom. I played some dance records.
It was possible, perhaps, that someone might join you there?
One always hopes.
Ah. And did Senorita Estravadas join you there?
I am afraid not. I was still there when I heard the rumpus, and ran hell for leather to see what was the matter. I helped Harry break the door down.
And is that all you have to tell us?
Absolutely all, I'm afraid.
You've no knowledge of anyone Simeon Lee had done a bad turn to out in Africa?
He had enemies, of course. Must have had, but I don't know of any specific case.
Except perhaps yourself, Mr. Farr.
You think I came to revenge some injury against my father? Well, there's nothing doing there. Simeon and Ebenezer had nothing against each other.
No, we're not accusing you of anything, Mr. Farr.
I didn't much care for the tone of Mr. Potter's voice.
Well, that is unfortunate.
Thank you, Mr. Farr. That'll be all for the present. You will, of course, not leave the house.
Well, there's nowhere much to go. And tomorrow is Christmas Day.
There goes X, the unknown quantity. His story seems straightforward enough, but that gramophone alibi isn't too good.
My dear friend, compare the physique of Stephen Farr with that of Simeon Lee. Simeon Lee couldn't possibly have put up a fight against him. Can you imagine that frail old man and that magnificent specimen of humanity struggled for some minutes, overturning furniture and breaking china?
You mean that it was a weak man who killed Simeon Lee?
Or a woman.
Well, there's nothing much more that I can do here. You've got things well in hand, Sugden. Oh, we ought to see that old butler fellow just to confirm that everyone was where they said they were at the time of the murder.
Such a violent thing to happen, sir. In this house, where everything has always gone on so quietly, you know.
It was a well-ordered house, but not a happy one.
Well, I wouldn't like to say that, sir.
In the days when the family was at home, it was happy then.
It wasn't perhaps what one would call very harmonious, sir.
And Mr. Harry, what was he like?
Oh, always rather a wild young gentleman, sir, but good-hearted, you know. Gave me quite a turn, it did, when the bell rang, and then again, so impatiently. And I opened the door, and there was a strange man. And then Mr. Harry's voice said, "Hello, Tressilian. Still here, eh? Just the same as ever."
It must have been a strange feeling.
It seems sometimes, sir, as though the past isn't the past, you know. There's the feeling that comes over you, as though you'd done it all before.
Yes.
You see, it just seems to me as though the bell rings, and I go to answer it, and there's Mr. Harry. Even if it should be Mr. Farr or some other person. I'm just saying to myself, you see, that I've done this before.
Oh, that is interesting, very interesting.
We just want to get the various times checked correctly. Now, when the noise started, I understand that only Mr. Alfred Lee and Mr. Harry Lee were in the dining room. Is that so?
I really couldn't tell you, sir. All the gentlemen were there when I served coffee to them, but that would be about a quarter of an hour earlier.
Mr. George Lee was telephoning. Now, can you confirm that?
I think somebody did telephone, sir. The bell rings in my pantry, and when anybody takes the receiver off to call a number, there's a faint noise on the bell. I do remember hearing that.
You don't know where anyone else was?
Mr. David, I think, was playing the pianoforte in the music room, sir.
You heard him?
Oh, yes, sir, yes. It was like a sign, sir, so I felt afterwards. It was the Dead March he was playing. Even at the time, I remember it gave me the creeps.
It is curious, yes.
Now, about this fellow Horbury, the valet. Are you definitely prepared to swear that he was out of the house by 8 o'clock?
Oh, yes, sir, yes. It was just after Mr. Sugden here arrived. I remember particularly because he broke a coffee cup.
Horbury broke a coffee cup?
Yes, sir, one of the old Worcester ones. He'd no business to have been handling it at all. He was holding it up, admiring it, and I happened to mention that Mr. Sugden had called, and he dropped it.
Did you say Mr. Sugden, or did you mention the police?
Well, now I come to think of it, sir, I mentioned that the police superintendent had called.
Hmm. Did Horbury ask any questions about the superintendent's visit?
Yes, sir, yes. He told me he'd come collecting for the police orphanage.
And did Horbury seem relieved when you said that?
Do you know, sir, now you mention it, he certainly did. Hmm.
And then he left?
Yes, sir, yes. He passed through the kitchen where the cook and the kitchen maid saw him and through the back door.
Is there any means by which Horbury could return to the house without anyone seeing him?
Oh, I don't see how he could have done it, sir. No. All the doors are locked and bolted on the inside.
How does he get in when he comes?
Oh, he has a key to the back door, sir.
Well, he could have returned that way, then.
Not without passing through the kitchen, sir. And the kitchen, you see, would be occupied till well after 9:30.
Hmm. Well, that seems conclusive. Thank you, Tressilian.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, has Horbury returned yet, do you know?
He came in just as you called me, sir.
Good. Then we'll have him in.
I left the house just before 8, sir. I went to the electric, sir. It's within easy walking distance. Love in Old Seville was the picture, sir.
Anyone who saw you there?
The young lady in the box office, sir. She knows me. And, as a matter of fact, I was with a young lady, sir. I met her there by appointment. Doris Buckle, sir. She works in the combined dairies.
Well, you can give all those particulars to Mr. Sugden later. What I want to know is this. At what time did you last see Mr. Lee this evening?
It was about 7:30, sir. I went in to take away his supper tray and to put out the sherry and 2 glasses on the bureau.
Why did you do that?
Mr. Lee's orders.
Was that usual?
Sometimes. It was the rule that none of the family came in to see Mr. Lee in the evening unless he invited them.
And had he invited anyone this evening?
Oh, don't know, sir. He hadn't sent any message by me, but he might have asked one of them personally.
Hmm. Now, there's something more we want to know, Horbury.
Sir.
What can you tell us about the diamonds Mr. Lee kept in his safe?
Oh, diamonds, sir? I never saw any diamonds.
Mr. Lee kept a quantity of uncut stones there. You must have seen him handling them.
Oh, those funny little pebbles, sir. Yes, I did see him with them once or twice, but I didn't know they were diamonds. He was showing them to the foreign young lady yesterday.
Well, those stones have been stolen.
Well, I hope you don't think so that I had anything to do with it.
That remains to be seen. That'll do. I shan't want you again tonight.
Yes, sir. Good night, sir. Thank you, sir.
An unprepossessing person.
The question is, what do we think of his evidence?
Well, say he took the diamonds, gathered from the old man's mouth that he was suspected, made his plans accordingly, went out ostentatiously at 8:00 and cooked up an alibi. Easy enough to slip out of the cinema and return here unnoticed.
Hmm. Well, I think we'll call it a night.
Good morning, Mr. Farrell.
Ah, good morning, Mrs. Lee.
It scarcely seems appropriate to say Merry Christmas, does it?
Not here, at any rate.
Well, they at least don't seem very concerned.
Who, madame?
Pilar and Mr. Farrell walking down by the lake. She seems extraordinarily self-possessed. It's all very odd, isn't it?
What is odd, madame?
But the way she turned up here, out of the blue.
I believe that Mr. Lee had been searching for her for some time. He had been in correspondence with the vice-consul at Alicara, where her mother died.
You know, Monsieur Perrault, there's some story connected with Jennifer's husband, Estravados. Something about him stabbing a man in a cafe in a brawl over a woman. He died quite soon afterwards. George feels the family ought to have been told more about the girl's antecedents. After all, if her father was a criminal... And the Spanish are cruel, aren't they? All those bullfights.
You are saying that, in your opinion, Senorita Estravados cut her grandfather's throat?
Oh, no, Monsieur Perrault. I never said anything of the kind.
Well, perhaps you did not.
But I do think that she is, well, a suspicious person. The furtive way she picked up something from the floor of the room last night, for instance.
She picked up something from the floor?
Yes. As soon as we got into the room, she gave a quick glance round to see if anyone was looking and then pounced on it. But the superintendent saw her, I'm glad to say, and made her give it up.
What was it she picked up? Do you know, madame?
No, I wasn't near enough to see. It was quite small. Ah, but here's Mr. Sugden. He'll be able to tell you. I'd better see if I can help Lydia in any way. I suppose we must make some attempt at Christmas lunch.
Good morning, Mr. Poirot.
Ah.
I won't say Merry Christmas.
No, please. Are you making any progress?
Aubrey's alibi is holding water. The commissioner at the cinema saw him go in with the girl and saw him come out with her at the end of the performance and seemed positive he couldn't have left and returned during the performance. The girl swears he was with her in the seminar all the time.
I hardly see, then, what there is to say.
Well, that's just it. It brings us right back to the people in the house. Clearly one of them did it, but which?
You have no new data?
Yes, I've checked up on the telephone calls. Mr. George Lee put through a call to Westringham at 9:02. That call lasted under 6 minutes.
Ah.
Just so. Moreover, no other call was put through to Westringham or anywhere else.
Ah, very interesting, yes. Mr. George Lee says that he has just finished telephoning when he hears the noise overhead. But actually, he had finished telephoning nearly 10 minutes before that. Mrs. George Lee says that she was telephoning, but actually she never put through a call at all. Now, what were they doing?
Oh, I noticed you were talking to her just now.
Ah, you are in error.
Hmm?
I was not talking to her. She was talking to me.
And what does she have to say?
She wanted to draw my attention to the un-Englishness of the crime and possibly criminal nature of the father of Senorita Estravadas and the fact that she had furtively picked something up from the floor last night.
She told you that, did she?
Yes. What was it she picked up?
Well, if you can make anything out of it, I'll retire from the police force.
I'll show it to you.
There you are. Piece of rubber and a small wooden peg. What do you make of it?
This little piece of stuff might have been cut from a sponge bag.
It was. It comes from a sponge bag in Mr. Lee's room. Somebody cut a small triangular piece out of it. Mr. Lee might have done it himself, for all I know. As for the peg, it's just rough wood, whittled out of a bit of deal, I'd say.
Most remarkable.
They don't mean anything at all to you?
I must confess, nothing whatever.
Hmm. Well, let's get down to the facts. To begin with, there are the people who couldn't have done it.
And they are?
Well, Alfred and Harry Lee. They've got a definite alibi.
And the others?
Well, I've made out a list. At the time of the crime, David Lee was playing the piano in the music room, confirmed by his wife. Mrs. David Lee was in the music room, confirmed by her husband. Miss Estravadas was in her bedroom, no confirmation. Stephen Farr was playing records in the ballroom, confirmed by 3 of the staff who could hear the music in the servants' hall. And Mr. and Mrs. George Lee are simply 2 question marks. So much for opportunity. Now, let's consider motive. There again, we can wash out certain people. Miss Estravadas, for one. As the will stands, she doesn't gain anything at all. It seems unlikely, therefore, that she has anything to do with the crime, except that you might argue that to cut a man's throat is an un-English sort of thing to do, as your friend Mrs. George put it.
Oh, do not call her my friend, or I shall speak of your friend, Miss Estravadas, who finds you such a handsome man.
Oh, steady on, Mr. Poirot.
Oh, it is true, it is true. Your moustache is superb. tell me. Do you use for it a special pomade?
Good Lord, no. Just crows.
Oh, you are favored by nature. Every night I have to use the pomade.
Harry Lee had every opportunity for keeping the old man alive in the hope that he'd make a new will. You see, we're getting on.
Oh, how true. Very soon there will be nobody left.
We've still got George Lee and his wife and Mr. and Mrs. David Lee. They all benefit by the death. And George Lee, from all I can make out, is grasping about money. Moreover, his father was threatening to cut down supplies. So, we've got George Lee with motive and opportunity.
And David Lee?
Well, he doesn't strike me as the mercenary type. As I see it, there are 3 possible motives for this murder. The diamond complication, the will, and there's, well, just plain hate.
Ah, you see that, do you?
If David Lee killed his father, it might explain the bloodletting.
So much blood. It takes me back to ancient rituals, to blood sacrifice, to the anointing with the blood of the sacrifice.
Well, I'm going back to the house. Are you coming, Mr. Poirot?
No, not for the moment, Superintendent. I shall walk for a while on the terrace.
Well, there's no doubt about it. They're the diamonds, all right. See for yourself, sir.
And where did you say you found them, Poirot?
in one of the small gardens on the terrace constructed by Mrs. Alfred Lee.
Mrs. Alfred? Well, that doesn't seem likely.
One would not easily believe her a thief, no.
Anybody could have hidden them there.
Well, that is true. It was convenient that in that particular garden, the Dead Sea, there happened to be pebbles very similar in shape and appearance. It was an ideal place for whoever took the diamonds.
Hmm. Well, we'd better get on. Anything fresh to report, Sugden?
There's some new information about Horbury. A reason why he might be scared of the police.
Oh, what's that?
Extorting money under threats. Modified blackmail. The case couldn't be proved, so he got off, but I rather fancy he's got away with a thing or two in that line. That's why he got the wind up when Tresillian mentioned a police officer on the night of the murder.
Hmm. So much for Horbury. Anything else?
Mrs. George Lee, sir. We've got a line on her before her marriage. Was living with a Commander Jones, passed as his daughter, but she wasn't his daughter. I think, from what we've been told, that old Mr. Lee summed her up pretty correctly and was just amusing himself by taking a shot in the dark, and he got her on the raw.
That gives her another possible motive. She may have thought he knew something definite and was going to give her away to her husband.
Why not have them in together, sir? And get that telephone business straight.
Yeah, good idea.